will be seen. We will be heard. We will be seen. We will be heard.
I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. Princeton University today joined the number of schools where protesters are demanding change for the social and academic experience of black students. Let's get the latest from Jamal Maddox, news director at radio station WPRB in Princeton. Jamal, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Now, I understand today's protest dispersed in the past hour, only to resume tomorrow. What was the scope of today's demonstration?
Well, the student organization taking the lead on this walk-in and demonstration is the Princeton Black Justice League. And when they issued a call to action a couple of days ago, they enumerated about three separate demands that they wanted the university to address.
Principal among them was the demand to drop Woodrow Wilson's name from school buildings and programs.
Well, that was the first demand on the list, but that seems to be the most polarizing demand at this point in time.
Why so?
Well, from the discussion with the students and the university president, there was a bit of a confrontation between the two.
And we do have a portion of that conversation between students and President Christopher Eisgruber. Let's give a listen.
I also think that we have to pay attention to the complexity of history, where at times we owe things to people who were...
Woodrow Wilson perpetuated an ideology that has led to the continual genocide of black people in this country. He is a murderer. We owe him nothing.
So in addition to the demands that Woodrow Wilson's name be scrubbed from the school, what are their other points?
Well, their other two demands are, first, institute more diversity training for the faculty and staff of the university, cultural awareness training, etc. And kind of within that demand, there's also another demand for the university to kind of create a cultural awareness distribution requirement or insert kind of cultural awareness into the mandatory curriculum of the university. So they want to see a change in the curriculum so that histories of marginalized communities play a role in kind of the curriculum that every Princeton University student has to go through. And their last demand was the creation of a black student center on campus, a place where black students can congregate, and it's dedicated for that purpose. And within that demand, they also requested that students have the kind of final say in deciding what that center will be called. They don't want it to be named after a white benefactor or someone who they perceive as racist.
Jamal, this started to coalesce, as you said, a couple of days back, but put it in the context of first protests at Yale and the University of Missouri, and then more recently, University of Massachusetts, Amherst, Wesleyan, Smith.
Sure. I'd have to say that this is just, you know, part and parcel of the national movement that's going on. And a lot of the roots of what we're seeing right now had started a few weeks back. You started to see a lot of students involved with activism on campus kind of express their solidarity with the students in Mizzou, at the University of Missouri, at Yale. You started to see kind of official statements coming out in support of these protests. And this week, you see it kind of coalesce around issues that are specific to Princeton.
How did the protesters and the president part today? What happens next?
Well, it was quite a contentious meeting, as that audio showed. And I should probably add, one of the last demands that the Black Justice League issued was that the president sign and approve the kind of demands as they stood and as the Black Justice League wanted. And that just wasn't going to fly with him. At this point, it seems somewhat intractable. He refuses to sign this statement. The Black Justice League students refuse to give ground. So I honestly don't see so far any area of substantive agreement.
Jamal Maddox, thanks so much for bringing us up to date on protests at Princeton University.
Thank you so much, David.
Jamal Maddox is news director at radio station WPRB in Princeton. Back in September, Philadelphia District Attorney Seth Williams announced three of his prosecutors involved in the Porngate email scandal would keep their jobs, but receive sensitivity training. More than 2 months later, WHYY's Katie Colinari reports that the district attorney's office is not saying whether that has actually happened yet.
A source close to the DA's office says the office has contacted an outside firm that does sensitivity training, but has had trouble with scheduling. But here's what happens when you call the district attorney's press office these days.
Hi, you've reached Cameron Klein, communications director and spokesperson for the Philadelphia District Attorney. Right now, I can't come to the phone. So
we've reached out to the DA's office at least six times in the past week, asking, have the three prosecutors gotten the sensitivity training? We haven't heard back. Nina Ahmed is president of the Philadelphia chapter of the National Organization for Women.
That just goes to prove what we had thought at the very beginning, that this was not being taken seriously by the district attorney's office.
An online petition has roughly 300 signatures asking District Attorney Seth Williams to fire the three prosecutors for sending or receiving emails with sexist, racist, and homophobic content. Attorney Deborah Weinstein's firm gets hired to conduct sensitivity training. She has not been contacted by the DA's office, but explains this kind of training is rooted in the law and workplace anti-harassment policies.
We're really trying to bring the individual's conduct in line with what's expected of a professional today at work. Our work has gotten a lot easier in recent years because of all the stupid things that public figures have done and should never have done that everybody's watching.
Katie Colinari, WHYY News.
Tomorrow, Philadelphia's school superintendent will announce a new plan to fill teacher vacancies. WHYY's Tom McDonald reports that a contract with a New Jersey firm has not been very successful.
Source for Teachers of Cherry Hill was awarded the district contract to hire substitute teachers, but has provided fewer than half the needed teachers daily since September. District spokesman Fernando Gallard says changes will be proposed at the School Reform Commission meeting.
We have seen a gradual increase in the fill rate. Yesterday's fill rate was 27%, and that was the rate also on Monday, which are actually the highest rates we have seen so far. So we are going to be making some changes to the contract.
Jerry Jordan, head of the Philadelphia Federation of Teachers, says when his union members filled those slots, they did better than the contractor, and more teachers wanted to be substitutes.
The district certainly could have improved the fill rate if they had done as we suggested, and that was to allow more retirees who wished to sub the opportunity of being able to do so. The district just flat out denied them the opportunity to register to be substitute teachers.
As for what the plan is, Gallard was not specific, but did say Source for Teachers would be involved.
Basically, those changes are going to be refocusing their services into things that we believe they're going to be more successful at.
Source for Teachers denied comment until after the plan is made official. I'm Tom McDonald, WHYY News.
Continuing with education. For many Philadelphia families, getting their kids into one of the city's magnet schools keeps them from considering a move to the suburbs. But what would happen if one of these schools was suddenly required to waive its standards and start enrolling average or low-performing students? As WHYY's Kevin McCory reports, a magnet school in northwest Philadelphia could soon find out.
Hill Friedman principal Anthony Majewski oversees a middle and high school magnet program, but because of space limitations, they're in two buildings about a mile apart, and it keeps him from doing all he wants to do.
The feeling of community is rough. I feel like I can't really delve into the school when I'm jumping back and forth every day.
This October, Philadelphia school district leaders came up with a solution. They would close nearby Leeds Middle School, a long-struggling school which accepts all comers from the neighborhood, and move the entire Hill Friedman operation into the Leeds building. But here's where the proposal gets thorny. The kids in Leeds' current 6th and 7th grades would stay in the building next year and be mixed into Hill Friedman's incoming classes of magnet school students.
I have concerns and I have questions.
Sandra Carter's daughter is a current Hill Friedman 7th grader.
I'm all for giving kids an even opportunity, and I do believe that there are some situations where some kids were not afforded an opportunity because of whatever, bad school, bad neighborhood, bad parents. But the reality is my child tested to come in, and by testing, she had to meet certain criteria. I do have a question as to if you can't meet those grades today, then why are you given the opportunity to come into this school?
Unlike many debates about integrating schools, this one is not about race. Both schools have an overwhelmingly black student population, but they do differ significantly in terms of family income. With its ability to select top students, Hill Freedman stands far above Leeds when it comes to academic performance and school culture. Last year, with 260 students, Leeds had 22 violent incidents and 26 students who were suspended more than once, dwarfing the numbers at Hill Freedman.
I'm not saying it's everyone, but it concerns me. My child is going into that type of an environment.
The central questions underlying all of this are ones that have major ramifications for the larger education debate across the city and even the nation. Will the proposed merger boost the neighborhood school kids, leave them behind? Will it drag down the magnet school kids or equip them with other valuable life skills? Carter feels like she already knows this answer. Before coming to the magnet school, her daughter was in a neighborhood elementary where she was bored academically and frequently bullied.
Sometimes the circumstances of that child do not allow that child to rise to the occasion. And sometimes it has nothing to do with what goes on at school. Sometimes it's a support system at home. And you can't fix that at school. You have to fix that in other ways.
Many parents, Carter included, are frustrated that the district has not involved them more in the decision-making process. They plan to push back on the proposal and possibly switch their children to other schools. Seventh grade parent Lisa Corbin worries that the neighborhood school kids just won't be able to keep up with Hill Freedman's extremely rigorous international baccalaureate curriculum.
I know what my son went through when he first came here in sixth grade. Given a seventh grade math book, it scared him to death. He thought that there was no way he was going to be able to adjust. He's a very good math student, and that was his favorite subject, and he was concerned.
There's also a crucial flip side to this conversation. Many of the kids at Leeds have special education needs in learning and emotional support, populations that the incoming magnet school staff aren't used to serving. At a hearing regarding the merger, one of the Leeds special education teachers, Maria Baraka, questioned the district's strategy. What will become of the students who get separated from trusted teachers who are de facto counselors?
Will these students be able to be incorporated in the regular education classes without feeling like pariahs because of their academic difficulties and their behavioral needs?
When Superintendent William Height unveiled his plans for the merger amidst the slate of other big changes, the larger questions raised by the prospect seemed to be the furthest thing from his mind. In fact, he was fuzzy about some of the basic details.
Well, Hill Freedman High School is a magnet.
Well, so is the grade school.
No.
Yeah.
Is the grade school a magnet?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah, so it is. Right.
Not all parents, though, oppose the plan. Hill Freedman also runs a special education program for students with severe physical and intellectual disabilities, including Christy McMahon's son.
Iron sharpens iron, last time I heard. Right? So how do you make yourself better? You surround yourself with better people.
For his part, Principal Majewski says he's devoted to making the transition as seamless as possible for all students. Parents have given him high marks for his attentiveness, and Height says that this plan can work essentially because of his leadership. Majewski is confident.
Trust me. Trust us. Trust us to do what's best for your kids.
The merger will be voted on by the School Reform Commission in February. If approved, Sandra Carter is willing to give it a chance, but she wants to see evidence that the district has a comprehensive plan and the resources to execute it.
If you're doing it, then do it right.
For WHYY News, I'm Kevin McCory.
Turning to this evening's headlines, senior attorneys under Pennsylvania Attorney General Kathleen Kane told a Senate committee today that she has not inserted herself in legal decision-making since her law license suspension took effect last month, though they are warning that her status could expose the office to attacks on the legality of its actions. The committee must report next week to the full Senate and could recommend her removal. The Supreme Court suspended Kane's law license as she fights criminal charges. The city of Philadelphia may try to condemn a piece of property along the Delaware River for part of a planned 3-mile-long bicycle and walking trail. The land is behind the Henry Stewart Company wire rope business. It runs between Penn Treaty Park and Sugar House Casino. Deputy Mayor Alan Greenberger says attempts to purchase the land from the Henry J. Stewart Trust have failed, and now the city may move to condemn the property. City Council would also have to approve the acquisition. The landowner has not commented on the plans. 58 degrees at 6:21. You're listening to Newsworks Tonight on WHYY. Cloudy skies this evening, and then a 50% chance of showers overnight, low 56 degrees. Tomorrow, count on rain heaviest in the afternoon, accompanied by gusts up to 25 miles an hour. Thursday's high, 66. Still ahead, Democrats are generally in favor of more gun control. But when a measure was put forward by a Republican, many Democrats balked.
How in the world can we expect as Democrats to have Republicans supporting common sense procedures that we're asking for when a Republican puts a common sense procedure and us not as Democrats support it? I'm going to support whatever makes sense.
Real concerns or politics as usual? That story when Newsworks Tonight continues.
Bryn Mawr Rehab supports WHYY and for more than 40 years has been committed to delivering advanced physical rehab services to those recovering from serious illness or injury. Their team of specialists develops customized inpatient and outpatient treatment plans for a range of conditions, including brain injury, spinal cord injury, concussion, and stroke. Patients travel from across the country for Bryn Mawr Rehab Hospital's creativity and personalized therapeutic approach. Learn more, including real patient stories, at mainlinehealth.org/rehab.
The Philadelphia Orchestra supports WHYY, the Philadelphia Orchestra, and the music of Tchaikovsky. Giandrea Nozeda conducts Tchaikovsky's first symphony, Winter Dreams. And Leonidas Kavakos plays Sibelius' violin concerto. Tickets at philorc.org or at 215-893-1999. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Kimmel Center. Tchaikovsky with the Philadelphia Orchestra.
Welcome back to Newsworks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. Congressional Democrats are ramping up their calls for increased gun control, but critics call it political posturing. Pennsylvania Republican Senator Pat Toomey, who's running for re-election next year, looks to be sponsoring one of the only measures that can garner bipartisan support. But Democratic leaders are not consulting him, as WHYY's Washington correspondent Matt Laszlo reports.
In the wake of recent mass shootings, Democrats have been holding high-profile press conferences on gun control at the Capitol. Senator Pat Toomey put his neck out a couple years ago by pushing a provision to modestly tighten background checks. You'd think Democrats would reach out to this Republican in their latest efforts. Most haven't been, which Toomey says shows they're not serious.
The only way we're actually going to be successful is if it's bipartisan and balanced. If the Democrats want to just make it, politicize it, that doesn't get us any progress.
In 2013, Toomey teamed up with West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin on the background check bill. Facing intense lobbying from the NRA, it failed by 6 votes. Toomey says he's still behind the effort, even if gun rights groups oppose it.
I still fully support the approach that Senator Manchin and I pursued, and I continue to discuss with him and others how we might go forward.
Democrats' latest push ranges from keeping guns out of the hands of people under a restraining order to tightening federal background checks. Even Senator Manchin admits his party's leaders are playing with the issue.
Everything here is politicized. Everything in Washington is politicized.
Manchin says if Democrats want a policy solution and not just a campaign issue, they need to start reaching across the aisle.
I'm here basically telling you, the Manchin-Toomey bill was introduced 2.5 years ago. It was bipartisan then, it's bipartisan now. It'll stay bipartisan. And I've talked to Pat, we're working it hard. We still have our Republican support that we had before, we just need more of it.
Republican Senator John Cornyn of Texas has introduced legislation to encourage states to send more data to a federal gun database in the hopes of keeping firearms out of the hands of those suffering from mental illness. It won the support from both the NRA and the National Alliance on Mental Illness. But many Democrats oppose it because the bill would allow some people who were discharged from psychiatric treatment to purchase guns without first having to get approval from a court. Manchin says at the very least, his party should negotiate with Republicans on the bill.
How in the world can we expect as Democrats to have Republicans supporting common sense procedures that we're asking for when a Republican puts a common sense procedure and us not as Democrats support it? I'm going to support whatever makes sense and does not take the rights away, the Second Amendment rights of any law-abiding gun owner.
Democrats are ramping up efforts to make guns a part of the 2016 election. Riding the subway underneath the Capitol, Pennsylvania Democratic Senator Bob Casey explains his party needs to win more seats before they can expect to pass gun control measures.
Some of it can play out here, but I think it's mostly going to be about what happens in elections. 2016, 2017, 2018, those.
Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg is promising to spend some $50 million in the election to further gun control, which Casey says will have an impact.
Because for years, the side that said no more changes, even on mental health, they had a money advantage that I think is starting to, the gap is starting to close. And I think that's going to change. It's going to change the issue. What I don't know is how long does it take.
Many Democrats disagree with the notion they're playing politics with guns. New Jersey Democratic Congressman Bill Pascrell brushes aside the charge.
That's not true. That is not true. Whoever, wherever you got your information, we're working behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, to put some reasonable gun legislation together.
For many Democrats, especially in the House, the political math just doesn't add up. Congressman John Carney from Delaware says his party needs to focus on mental health issues because gun control is a non-starter in the Republican-controlled chamber.
Nothing's going to happen here in the House. They won't put a piece of legislation on the floor.
Immigration, the economy, and unrest overseas are dominating the election so far, which means gun control may be relegated to the backseat once again. That won't stop both sides from spending millions of dollars on the issue, though. For WHYY News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
Finally this evening, if selecting baby names is your thing, the Philadelphia Zoo wants to hear from you. That's where two baby red pandas made their debut this morning as the public got its first look at the brother and sister cubs born June 26th. Now the zoo's asking for help naming the duo. Suggestions can be emailed to pandas@phillyzoo.org or submitted to the zoo's Facebook page. Now, unlike giant pandas, red pandas are not members of the bear family. Native to Asia, they're slightly larger than a domestic cat and look similar to a raccoon. That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Ben-Yakov and Kimberly Haas. Find us on iTunes or listen at newsworks.org. As Philadelphia prepares to transition to a new administration, we're reviewing Mayor Michael Nutter's legacy on key issues facing the city. And tomorrow, we'll look at how crime and policing practices have changed over the past 8 years. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for NewsWorks Tonight.
Chapin School, a pre-kindergarten through 8th grade independent school in Princeton, supports WHYY. Chapin teaches to each child's performance level and is dedicated to each child's success. Chapin cultivates the virtues of respect, responsibility, honesty, kindness, and perseverance to nurture students with a strong moral fiber and to prepare them for success in any high school. The next open house is Thursday, November 19th. Chapin School, tomorrow's promise today. More at chapinschool.org.
Virtua proudly supports WHYY. This is the time of year to sign up for health insurance. When choosing a health insurance plan, it's important to know whether your doctor or hospital is included. If you want to use a Virtua physician, hospital, or outpatient service, you can find out if Virtua is in the plan you're considering by calling 888-VIRTUA-3. That's 888-VIRTUA-3. Virtua proudly supports WHYY.
The Miquon School supports WHYY. Located on a wooded campus near Northwest Philadelphia, the Miquon School is a progressive elementary school for children ages 3 to 12. At the Miquon School, children's curiosity and initiative are an integral part of their education. Purposeful instruction is combined with opportunities for children to explore, discover, dream, and create. A family open house is November 21st at 1:30. Info at miquon.org/open.